under times of of suffering has been the main portion of the last number of verses here. And whether it be us or others who are suffering, what should our testimony look like whenever there is suffering going on? Peter has discovered different, he's shown us different, discussed different venues of suffering and testimony. And he talked about in chapter 2, first few verses, verses 1 through 8, lively stones built into the construction of a spiritual house, a church. He talked about verses 9 and 10 there, praising him that called us in salvation. Verses 11 and 12, living in the world but not of the world. Verses 13 to 17, good citizens honoring our leaders. Verses 18 to 20, good employees honoring our bosses. Verse 21 to 25, following Christ, suffering unjustly, the fact that he suffered unjustly. Sometimes we're going to suffer unjustly. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, we look at wives adorned with the meek and quiet spirit, and then husbands honoring their wives in chapter 3, verse number 7. And so now we come to a shift in the venue, if you will, from a relationship where parties are not necessarily saved to believers that we fellowship with or in association with. And obviously that would be within the concept of a church and or other believers. And so I want to think about a Christian mindset today and how that part of our testimony is to have during times of suffering that we would have a Christian mindset. And I'll think about that, a Christ-like mindset, as we look at this passage. Verses 8 and 9 are our verses that we'll look at today. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 8 and 9. Obviously, we don't agree. Everybody does not agree on everything in life. And even if you were to ask Christians, you find out, you might ask the question, you know, well, what should you do if your child does this? And people will come up with different answers, and they'll get very adamant and hard sometimes about what are you supposed to do if your child did this. And the fact of the matter is, sometimes we have experiences with our own children, and we understand what they're going through, and there's not a right and wrong. It's not necessarily an answer that is the pat answer under every situation, every circumstances as far as the circumstance of life. But we have an understanding that sometimes that people are going through a certain thing, and this is the last straw, and so that response might be a little different than some circumstance where it's the first time the kid's ever done something and something bad. And so you see that, you witness that, and you say, well, that person ought to be, you know, harder on their children. That person ought to be a stricter parent or something like that. Or you might say just the opposite. You might say, well, that person looks like an awful parent. You know, she was chasing her kids through the grocery store and couldn't catch up with them. When she finally did, she whooped them good. And you think, well, you don't know. You just don't understand. You don't know whatever people are going through and such as this. And so it is in the construct of a church. And so it is in Christian fellowship, is that we need to have a certain mindset that is a mindset that is understanding of a whole lot of different things that are always going on, that we don't necessarily, we're not sure what we're seeing in every case, and we don't necessarily know, and we can't necessarily judge in every situation whether, you know, where people are and what their situation is. And a Christian mindset, though, nonetheless, is to, in verse 8 and 9, let's read verses 8 and 9. There's a sense in which that we're to be of one mind. But that one mind, being of one mind, does not mean, based on what we read in these verses, clearly does not mean that we all agree 100% on exactly in every situation what should be done. Or that we agreed even doctrinally 100% on every specific thing. So we'll look at that and think about that and think about this Christian mindset, Christ-like mindset, and what it looks like. So let's start with We'll start with what it doesn't mean here in a moment, but we'll think about this as we read these verses, verse 8 and 9, chapter 3, verse 8. So finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are called, that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Thinking about a Christian mindset today, as we look at these verses, be all of one mind. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, we pray for your grace and your mercy as we think upon this passage today, and we think about the mindset, the being of one mind, like is being spoken of by Peter here, that we would be better acquainted with it and understanding of what he's referring to. And Lord, that it would be something that as we go through suffering and others go through times of suffering, that we would be very patient and understanding of what things that they might do, that they might say, that they might be. Just pray that you would help that we, Lord, would be a merciful people, a people seeking to make peace, and your will would be done, Lord. Help us to know that as a church that we have a responsibility not to be the elite of this world, but, Lord, to be a place where suffering people can find resort. And we ask your blessings now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Christian mindset. We'll start with what this doesn't mean. This does not teach, when we think about being of one mind, this does not teach that that we are all in agreement with one another on everything. Clearly, it does not. Across those who know the Lord, who are truly saved, born again, if you want to call it, Christians, saints of God, those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, across the span of the kingdom of God, there are going to be people who do not agree, and in fact, within the confines of a family, within the confines of a small church, or any small group of Christians, there is not going to be 100% agreement within the confines of a household. Within the confines of a marriage, there's not going to be 100% agreement on everything concerning the things of the Lord. As we look at as we consider what we find as far as reality in life, and when we look at the Word of God, and so we start with one thing that this does not mean: be ye all of one mind. It is not saying that we are to all be completely and totally in agreement with each other on everything. And so we'll start with that. And with that, of course, we're looking at, and in the context, why would Peter bring up this as part of the important portion of our testimony as believers during times of suffering? Well, because when we suffer, there are all kinds of things come up. There are all kinds of rationale that's developed as to why that we're suffering. We just read, the past couple of weeks, we read Bildad in the afternoon service for our scripture reading. We read Bildad bringing the strongest accusation you could possibly bring against Job. And Job trying this morning to defend himself and trying to express the fact that they're being far too harsh in their judgments against him at this time. And it is not to say, and he did not say, he's not saying, I have not erred. Remember, we read the fact that he said he had. He said, I'm not saying I haven't erred. I'm not saying I don't make mistakes. I don't sin. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that your judgment is harsh against me by saying that I shouldn't even be suffering when God's clearly bringing the suffering upon me, when God is clearly providentially allowing things to happen in my life at this time. And so Job is defending himself in that sense. Well, it shouldn't be that the saint of God would have to defend himself in that light about everything that he might say. That might be in a time of suffering, that might be something that otherwise you wouldn't expect the person to say, that otherwise you wouldn't expect the person to kind of feel. And during times of suffering, there are times where that we all know that when we're going through, we're in a stressful situation, that we talk like we're distressed. We talk in such a way, and we speak in such a way, and we think in such a way as that we're not kind of right. I mean, things are broken a little bit, and things get broken sometimes as God's people when we're going through trouble, when we're going through trials, when we're going through difficulties in our lives. And so what does this mindset that Peter is talking about here when he says, finally, be ye all of one mind, what does it look like? Well, first of all, he says it looks like compassion. Compassion. He says, be all of one mind. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Having compassion. Caring. Clearly, when we look at the idea of being of one mind in the sense of strict tenets of the faith and strict adherence to a certain action, to certain actions all the time, and never having any kind of a freedom whatsoever, never having any kind of liberty whatsoever, never expressing any kind of charity whatsoever, and love and concern and compassion whatsoever, that is it's clearly contrary to what the Apostle Peter is talking about here. He's saying, no, he says, part of that mindset, the way that mindset looks of being of one mind, he's telling us what that mind is. Not saying everybody agree on everything. He's saying, be in agreement with this. Everybody be in agreement with this. This is the mindset that we should have. We should have a mindset of compassion. We should have a mindset where we care about people, where that we care what their feelings are, we care what they think, we're respectful of their own judgments, and we just accept that. We'll accept the judgments that other people have. You know, the more before Allison came along, I knew exactly how to parent. I knew how to parent. I could correct anybody in their parenting. I could tell them, and I was critical. I could be critical with people. And, somebody at the restaurant, their kid's, acting up a little bit or something like that. They should do something about that, And after Allison came along, then, okay, it scaled back quite a bit, And then after Jennifer came along and Evan and Jared, by the time that Jared was gone, by the time Jared came along, it was like, I keep my mouth shut. I don't need to tell anybody how to parent because I realized that it ain't easy, for one thing. And that all these experiences that I was witnessing before I even had children, I found out that I did a worse job than they did. See? So it's not a good idea. It isn't an appropriate thing for us to be so hard. Now, that's just one little example of parenting. But we're talking about as Christians and in the Christian life and what the Christian life, exactly what it looks like as the children of God. One person says, this is a specific way that we are to dress as Christians. Another person says, well, I don't believe that's a specific way that I should dress as a child of God because I don't believe in being so harsh on tradition and such as this and pushing other people to dress exactly the same way as others. And that's okay. But as God's people, we need to have some charity, some compassion, some care, some respect. And that's part of the mindset that Peter is trying to come across with. He's trying to say, look, this is the kind of mindset you need whenever you're going through, when people are going through trouble, when people are going through difficulties. You remember in 2 John, when someone's come along it's in James, I'm sorry, when someone's come into the congregation and they have on the vile raiment and such as that, and they smell and they look bad and such as that. We'll keep them back in the back, kind of a thing. And he said, no, or you become judges in yourselves. He says, you were not to be judges in that kind of a sense. In other words, we don't understand what everybody is going through. We don't understand, and we should be, in general, we should be compassionate and caring for others. And so part of what the Christian mindset should be is, finally, my brother, be ye of one mind, all of one mind. Everybody have this kind of a mind, having compassion one of another. And then secondly, he says, love as brethren. Love as brethren. Now, what does that mean when you say love as brethren? Because clearly, brothers and sisters, which is what this is talking about, brothers and sisters, some of them love each other very dearly, and other of them hate each other. I mean, there's a wide variety of different kinds of, you know, what the love between a brother and another brother is, or between a sister and a sister, between a brother and a sister. There's a wide variety of what that actually looks like as far as day to day. But who is your brother today, and who was he 10 years ago? The same person. He's the same person. You don't lose, your brother is your brother. Your sister is your sister. And she'll be your sister forever. She's going to be your sister. She's going to be your brother forever. And so when he says love as brethren, he's using this as an example, I think what he's probably talking about here is the longevity of it. He's talking about the long-term family love. A long-term family love that we're to have for each other. Yeah, we get in disputes. Yeah, there's going to be difficulties. But long-term, we're brethren. We're brothers. We're sisters. And so, in that sense, he's saying, have that mindset that says it's long-term. You know, we're not just trying to cut people off. And we're not trying to, we don't want to shorten the relationship. And we don't want to, and we also don't want to be so impatient with other people when they don't see things exactly the way we do. Even as people who come and have joined the church, we all know that people who are members of a New Testament church, people who are members of a church, they're gonna disagree on a lot of things. It's just gonna happen. And to have the right mindset is to say, that's okay. It's to say, I don't agree with everything my brother says, but and I might have disputes, strong disputes sometimes with my brother or one of my brothers, but at the same time, he's always going to be my brother. And I'm always going to hug him every time I see him. And that's just the way it's going to be. And so it should be that there is that kind of a long-term thought process, that long-term mindset, when it comes to the saints of God having the same mind as he's speaking about here. Let's all have this kind of a mindset, and that is a compassionate, caring mindset, a love as brethren, long-term family love kind of a mindset. And then he says, be pitiful. Now that word, obviously it's an adjective that isn't being descriptive of a bad person. It's being descriptive of a person who pities. It's a person who is very compassionate, very it's concerned and it cares, and that is pitying someone, is a merciful kind of a person. A merciful person, not a judgy person, but a merciful person. He's saying that be of this mind. Don't be judgmental. Don't just have a judgmental mind. Have rather a pitiful mind. Have a mind that's merciful, that just is more prone to accept almost whatever he sees or whatever she sees. That almost is going to accept it and is going to accept the difference and diversity that there might be, even whether it's doctrinal or whether it's practical or whatever it is, that's going to be understanding that we don't all think exactly the same. Our life experiences have not all been the same. And so we need to have a certain mercy about us. And so, again, be of one mind. This is the kind of mind he's talking about. Compassionate, caring. long-term brother, love his brother, pitiful, being merciful and not judgy. And then he goes on to say, be courteous. That's a pretty simple thing. Your parents always told you to be courteous. Just be courteous, you know. You need to be, or your mom did anyway. Some of those dads, we don't say those kind of things. Be courteous. Be courteous of others. Be polite. It's politeness. Be decent. Be kind. Those words that come up that are the words of, not just showing respect, but more than respect, being good to others and being courteous to others, as he's saying here. So this is part of this mindset. Being courteous is whenever something comes up and clearly it's something that kind of confronts you as being, well, this is different than what I see things, then be polite, be courteous, shut, keep the mouth closed at times, and don't just jump at the opportunities to whenever things are difficult. With the trials that come in life and the difficulties that come in life bring out things that sometimes we wouldn't normally hear. You know, trials sometimes can cause people to say things in a way that maybe expresses part of their past. Maybe it's an expression of something that's just so natural to them to speak sometimes. If you were in the Navy, you probably spoke a little coarser than somebody that never was. And so it's going to happen. Those kind of things are going to come up. And when that happens, hey, be courteous. Be pitiful, love his brethren, compassion, courteous, having this kind of a mindset, being all of one mind. And then he says in verse number 9, he says, not rendering evil for evil. In other words, if they try to hurt you somehow, or they're going through suffering and they take it out on you, and maybe it can be in any kind of a Christian relationship that he's talking about. He's talking about here about brethren, about the saints of God, and being all of us being of one mind. But being of one mind, not rendering evil for evil. Not thoughtful, not impulsive, thoughtful, thinking. Don't be impulsive. I think we're so prone to lash back out when someone has lashed at us. When someone has said something to us or done something against us, then we want to get them back. And we'll get even with them or something. Not rendering evil for evil, he says. So that is thoughtful. Being very thoughtful and not acting impulsive. And then not railing for railing. Railing for railing is accusations that come against you. Falsely accused you, said something bad against you, they slandered you. What do? When they slandered you, and he says, "Well, don't slander back. Don't throw it back in their face, kind of thing. But rather, he says, but contrariwise, blessing, covering. What is it among saints? Things bad are going to happen, and what do we do as a result? We go tell everybody else? No, we cover it." We don't expose it. Blessing rather than railing is covering. It's not exposing. It is covering up for one another as the saints of God, as those that know the Lord. We all are going to have difficulty. We all are going to say things we shouldn't say. We all are going to... We talked about that last week. Brother Mel and his message was a really good message on that very subject, how that we're definitely still sinners and that we all have that propensity to continue to sin. We're going to sin, and yet the Lord has totally forgiven us. He's delivered us. He's counted us as even though we're not worthy of it, he's counted us as completely forgiven. And so we need to count one another as completely, as those that are the saints of God, as completely forgiven of the Lord. And then to say, hey, you know what? I can cover up. I don't want to expose this weakness that we might have, or this time of weakness that we might be going through, because suffering makes us look that way. And as well, when we're suffering, those are the times when it's easy for us to lash out at others also. And we need to be careful. When someone says to us, when we're going through a trying time, they say, well, you know, I wouldn't do things that way. And it's like, yeah, you don't have a clue what you're talking about. We'd like to say that, but sometimes it's just best as God's people not to be railing back, but rather to bless and say, yeah, I know, sometimes I don't do things right. And just like Job said, you know, I err. There's no question. I'm a person that errs. I'm not claiming to be perfect. But in general, what is this all? Well, he says here we're called. He talks about this call in verse number 9. He says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Called. You're called together. You're called in this manner of having this one mind, which is intended to be a blessing inherited, not a burden. A blessing. Being together as children of God should be a blessing. It should be that it shouldn't be. You know, some people justly condemn churches because when they come to a church, they don't see this. They see a bunch of judgy people. They see an elite group of people who don't care about others, certainly don't care about them, and they look down their noses at them, and they're justly kind of turned off by church. They're justly kind of turned off by what they see, because they're seeing a bunch of people who are not compassionate, not caring. They're seeing a bunch of people who don't love his brother, don't have a long-term strategy at all, who are not pitiful, who are not courteous, who are not who do render evil for evil and railing for railing. And they have a reputation almost sometimes as churches for being that way. And he's saying, hey, no, we're called to be what he's talking about here. We're called to be compassionate. We're called into this relationship to be a people who have this kind of a mindset. We're called together to be a blessing. Can we be a blessing to other saints of God? Can I be, as a child of God, in my relationship with other believers, can I be a blessing to them? It should be that someone who knows the Lord, that I can be a blessing to them and not be a curse to them, not be evil unto them. In general, what is it? Well, in verse number 11, he talks about, we're not going to get into verse 11 yet. We'll look at verse 10 and 11, Lord willing, next week. But he talks about that person that loved life and see good days, let him refrain his lips from evil and his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Pursue it. Go after peace. Try, if at all possible, try to be peaceful. Try to be a people who are not a bitter people, not a people who are divisive, but a people who are seeking peace. In general, the pursuit of peace is what this mindset looks like. How does this fit with the theme? How does this really fit with the theme of this letter of suffering? And how does it fit with the theme of our testimony, what kind of testimony we should have during suffering? Well, troubles and suffering tend to divide people. It tends to cause people to be divided. Clearly, one of the things that happens when people go through bad times is somehow, for some strange reason, they lose friends. It's like what Job was talking about. For some strange reason, you find out who your true friends are when you go through hard times. And hard times should not be, to children of God, hard times should not be something that we would push aside. Difficult times, hard times, tough times shouldn't be something that we just repel. Troubles and suffering tend to divide people. People are not generally comfortable around suffering people. And so Peter says, be at peace among yourselves. Don't allow the enemy to divide you in difficult times. Don't allow the enemy to cause you to be a divisive person, cause you to be a person that has a different kind of a mindset than what he's referring to here. because you're going through suffering, going through trial, or someone else is going through suffering. People respond also. People respond differently to suffering. So when you're suffering, be flexible to respect those different kinds of responses. When you're going through suffering, every one of us know that we've had times when someone was going through suffering when we said, I know exactly what you feel like. And that was exactly the wrong thing to say. But we almost, all of us, have had a time where we kind of put ourselves out there that way and said, well, I know just what you feel like, you know. And whenever we ain't got a slim clue what they might be feeling like at all, even if we went through the exact same experience that they've gone through, we still don't know exactly how, what they're feeling like. And so people are going to respond differently. When you hear that, what do? Jump down their throat? No. No, just be courteous. Be at peace. Be courteous. Say, hey, yeah, I know. Thank you. Thank you for your kindness. And one of these days, maybe you'll figure it all out. But Peter is saying here, need to be flexible. Need to be kind. Don't lash back out. Don't think that every single time someone does something wrong or says something wrong is a teaching moment. It's not. It's not always a teaching moment. Sometimes those are the worst times to try to come across and express something of their weakness. They don't want to hear about their weakness when they're going through suffering. A body of believers, thirdly, a body of believers is to be a refuge for sufferers, not a club for the elite. A body of believers is to be a refuge for sufferers, not a club for the elite. You know, no matter how country, how laid back we might be, we can still have that mindset that we are the elite Christians of the world and that nobody else really has any place coming in and messing up our party. A body of believers is to be a refuge for sufferers, not a club for the elite. And then finally, people who are courteous and don't want to cause trouble are, that's what people like. The kind of people you want to be around, I can assure you, are people that are described in verse 8 and 9. Those are the kind of people you want to be around. Those are the kind of people I want as fellow members of a church. Those are the kind of people I want to worship with. I want to worship. We can worship without being contentious. We can be loving without compromising the truth, but still be loving and be caring and be concerned and caring about the needs that other people have, praying for them. One of the things that, you know, we just learn as we go through life is, as the children of God, is learning how to just be still and know that He's God and trust Him during times of difficulty. When we see things need to be fixed, don't try to fix them. Try to look to the Lord and allow Him the ability, allow Him the privilege, if you will, or whatever you want to call it, to fix them. But without compromising the truth, we can still be loving. Romans 14, I think, says that rather clearly. Romans the 14th chapter, seems it does. In Romans 14, verse number 1, Romans 14, 1, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. He's saying to this church at Rome, to whom he's writing, he said, people who are weak in the faith, receive them. Receive people who are weak in the faith. They're going to be people, where were you 10 years ago? Where were you 30 years ago? Where were you 60 years ago? However, depending on how old you were when you came to know the Lord. Where were you then? Well, you were just a babe in Christ. And so, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. He says, but not to doubtful disputations. Don't allow it to happen that whether it come from the congregation or come from the individual, we don't want there to be trouble made. We want a mindset of peace. We want a mindset of compassion, as the scripture is talking about here in our text. But he says, hey, but him that's weak in the faith, receive you, but not the doubtful disputations. Don't receive them and then beat them up. It says, for one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs. You say, he might have a religious and a moral perspective on his diet. Now, that person who has a moral perspective on their diet is generally speaking, Paul is talking about them being a weaker believer. But it's okay. It's okay for people to have those kind of restrictions, put restrictions like that on their diet. One believeth he may eat all things, meats and everything else, and one who's weak eateth herbs. It's strictly a vegetarian. And he says, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Don't let things like that become something that becomes an argument, become something that becomes a matter that is of concern. And so either way, don't let the person that's the vegetarian try to force his vegetarianism on everybody, and don't let the person that is okay eating other things than vegetables force his diet on somebody else. He says, hey, God's received them both. If they're saved, God's received both of them. Verse 4, who art thou that judgeth another man's servant? Hey, he doesn't belong to you anyway. To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. One esteemeth one day above another. One says, hey, Christmas is a time where I want to recognize the birth of Christ. And someone else says, I don't believe that that's a good idea because I know the pagan history behind Christmas and such as that. It's like, one esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He says, hey, you know what? Be at peace about that. Be at peace. Don't make big waves over little things. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not unto the Lord. So both of them are doing it because they believe that it's right before the Lord, and so that's okay. That's good. God's looking at our intentions. God's looking at our own conscience before him. And he says he gives God thanks, and the other gives God thanks. The one that eats herbs only gives God thanks. The one that eats his meat, he gives God thanks. None of us live to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Verse number 7. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live or die, therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both the dead and the living. It says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? Why do you push him aside? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So he says, hey, you know what? There's going to be differences of opinion in a lot of areas in the Christian life. And we need to be accepting. We need to be a people who are not necessarily not compromising, but at the same time, and teaching the truth, but at the same time, be a people who speak the truth in love. And who have the kind of a mindset that says, I want to be, as a church, I want my church to be a refuge for sufferers, not a club for the elite. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer today and be dismissed as we get ready for a warm, nice warm day today. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for the opportunity to open your word and look into it. Bless, Lord, that Peter's words might ring true in our ears, and Lord, that we would hear and we would understand how sometimes we fall so far short of what you want us to do and what you want us to be, and just pray that you might help us. Pray that you give us grace, give us mercy, give us that pity, give us that compassion. Give us those things, Lord, that would cause us to be a people that aren't lashing back and are not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing, but rather blessing. And we just ask that you might bless, Lord, that as we are going through suffering ourselves, that you'd give us grace and that in our responses to others. And if others are going through suffering, Lord, that we love and know, that you might help us, Lord, to be courteous and be caring and to be pitiful, to be merciful unto others. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.